Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, June 21st, 2021. Stephen St. John, Nate Ducati, Jake Gutierrez, Todd Lebo. Happy late Father's Day, Todd. Did you have a good day?
Yes, had a very good day. Hosted at my house. Cooked some chicken and some burgers. Had some good times.
That's good.
Watched some golf. And then I watched some NBA. The people had left by then. Big fun. And it, you know, it didn't, it's no longer 99 degrees. It was great. Did rain like a mug last night at my house. I mean, really hard for a while. But that was good.
Last night?
Oh, yeah, like 9 o'clock last night. We were getting crushed.
Yeah, we got caught in a good one Sunday morning. Down the Crown Center area, it rained. It didn't last too long, but it rained hard for a few minutes. But then it cleared up, and we were good the rest of the day.
Did you have a good Father's Day?
We did. I mentioned earlier that my best friend Caesar, I went to his promotion, change of command ceremony at the World War I museum down there on the lawn, and it was. Dude, it was awesome. I still remember when he first joined the Army out of St. Pius so many damn years ago. What year is this? 2020? 31 years ago.
Yeah.
Because he's been in the Army now for 30 years.
Wow.
And it just blows my mind. I hosted two Back from Iraq welcome home parties for him. He's been to Bosnia. He's been to Guam. He's been – and it was so cool because, yeah, I guess I grew up with him. Caesar. I don't think of him as – Lieutenant Colonel Caesar Milan.
Oh, Lieutenant Colonel. Although, I thought he was finally just made lieutenant, so he's Lieutenant Colonel. Right. Oh, that's pretty good, eh?
Yes.
Nice, good for him.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. So he's now the commanding officer of the 418th Battalion out in Belton.
Mm.
And so it was the change of command ceremony. And so now he's the So he got a promotion to commanding officer out there of that battalion, which is unbelievable. It's like I'm saying it. It's
like, doesn't sound real.
It's Caesar.
Yeah. It's Caesar.
Right.
I know how Nate's Father's Day went. I saw a tweet.
It went really well.
It was a grounding.
Yeah, there was a grounding involved. It was a bad Father's Day. And most of it was my fault, honestly. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that good. It wasn't that good of a Father's Day.
There was too many things. We went right from the ceremony.
At one point, the sentence was uttered from my...
I'm glad my dad didn't have Twitter when I was growing up.
Oh, boy. You'd have been...
It would have been terrible, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. It'd be like he'd be like filming me and my mom fighting, and then he'd have to jump in and be like, you know what?
Dude.
You're grounded for 6 weeks.
the great thing about yesterday was the kids didn't have any time to complain because we went... The ceremony was at 10 a.m., right? And then I was scheduled to work with the Monarchs yesterday. I said, okay, that's a great way to have everyone together and we can do something together and I can go out there and work with the Monarchs. And so we did that, and Richie was able to go with us. I had all four kids together in the car at once. Mm. That doesn't happen anymore. I know you're mad right now, Nate, but cherish the memories when you got all your kids in one car, because that's like a not a common occurrence at all. And then by the time we arrived at our destination, I thought, I do not want to have four kids in the car anymore.
Ever again.
Because the boys both reverted to 10 years old, playing grab ass and smacking each other. And then the girls were threatening each other. They don't, all hell's breaking loose. And so then right from there, the girls had two basketball games at night. And Phil grabs me and he goes, Dad, I love you, but please don't make this happen. Don't make me go to these games. And Richie was like, I'm really tired. Can I? And so... I said yes. I said I could hold a hard line here. I said no. You're gonna experience everything with good old Dad on Father's Day. But I set them free, and Phil was very thankful. And then I just went with Susan to the basketball game. So that's like 9 a.m. to pretty much 8 or 9 p.m. So there was no chance for the kids to complain about everything because it was all scheduled. You know what? And I was satisfied with that. Although Nate, I'm very sorry for what you went through, but I get it. Just cherish the moments that they're all three in one car for no more than half an hour, because after that, then it's complete hell. So that's all.
No, honestly, the worst part for me.
What are you laughing at, Susan? It is. Don't. You know?
Now, the worst part for me was actually that my kids were great yesterday. They weren't. Now, the grounding
took
place.
You're the a-hole then.
Yeah, the grounding took place for something that had happened the day before. When I was working the Sporting Kansas City game, and I found out about it, and I was livid. Because, and I think that we're all in the same boat here, my wife is a damn saint. Dorothy Mantooth is a saint, you know? Like, I cannot fathom someone disrespecting her or being ungrateful to her, you know?
And kids just say dissing.
Oh, man. Yeah, no one's dissing. But, like, so I was... Right. I was hot. I was very, very angry at something.
How did they disrespect her? You can't tell the story if you don't give us a proper context.
I hate it. So every kid has probably at some point in time uttered the phrase, "You're the worst mom ever," or "You're the worst dad ever," or "I hate your guts," type of thing, right? Like, we've all been there, right?
You know, Jake?
I don't even want to get started.
Yeah, so
my mom has reached in the back seat as far as you can reach back in a station wagon and was somehow able to smack my face.
Stretch Armstrong arms.
I mean, the C word might have been used.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
By you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, my God.
Right.
No, I'd have been thrown out of a moving car.
No, the car stopped. The car stopped, and I had a friend in the car, and he still to this day would never, like, he'll never, she, like, asked him, to please step out of the car. Like, she pulled the car over.
Said, "Sir, yeah, you get out of the car. I have some talk."
Was there anything?
She said, "Greg, will you please step out of the car?" As she beat me.
Was there anything worse?
Oh my God!
You're getting in trouble like really that in front of your friends.
Oh man!
Was there anything worse than getting aired out or just getting just totally?
See, Jake
ripped
to
shreds.
Jake got out
by
of
your
skis.
In front of your friends.
Oh, Greg's here. I can do this.
You're right.
Watch this.
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah. No.
That's the deal. Yeah. Some parents won't do something in front of...
Oh, my mom.
My friends offered me no protection.
None.
Yeah. They offered me, you know...
Yeah. No, like, as a parent, I look forward to the opportunity to do that in front of their friends, actually, sometimes. Like, if you get your nose out of joint a little bit, you're gonna find out real quick that you can be humiliated, you know.
Oh man!
But
there's a reason I'm a good boy today.
Yeah, and so like that is actually one of the things I said to my child was, listen, what you're doing, and the other part of it was, my best friend says you suck. that was a sentence too, and I just said, look, here's the deal. I get it. I was in middle school once too. I remember I griped about my parents all the time, and I got together with my buddies and we griped about our parents together. And I understand that's part of the deal. But here's what also happens. When you disrespect your parent, you will be punished thoroughly for it. And that is part of growing up and learning. You can't do that.
That was the only time my dad ever got mad at me is when I would talk to my mom. And, like, he wouldn't care anything else. Like, I didn't do anything.
That was one of the things I said. You're going to have a lot more success disrespecting me than you are disrespecting your mom to me.
My old man would take it. Like, you know, he was Teflon. But as soon as anything, like, is like anything towards my mom is like, like belts coming off and like, you know.
I did worse than a belt. I took video games away for a week, which is just the most draconian thing you can do in today's world.
My Nintendo.
But here's this was the problem for me. Number one, I was up late Saturday night doing a sporting game. Didn't get home from that until about 1 o'clock in the morning.
You came home hot because you were pissed.
It was a tough loss. But after games, I have a tough time falling asleep. I know you guys are all probably the same way. When
absolutely.
You know, Steven, when you're announcing fights, it's just, you don't just go home and turn your brain off and fall asleep. So I was up till...
You mean the fights between my kids or
either one. So then I stupidly decided I'm going to try to play golf in the morning with my son and my dad. So I woke up on like 3 hours of sleep. So I was already cranky. I was mad about the altercation that had happened the day before. My son, to his credit, woke up first thing in the morning, drug himself out of bed, and was like, "I'm going to have a great attitude and play golf with my dad because it's Father's Day." And every terrible shot I hit, he was like, "Great shot, Dad." And the whole time, I'm still seething with him about what happened last night. And I hadn't even confronted him yet because I was like, "We're going to play golf first. We're going to do all this. I'm not going to get into the..." And finally, I realized... I just need to get this out here now because I'm mad, and I'm not going to stop being mad until we have this out, you know? So it was my fault that Father's Day sucked. It wasn't really anybody else's. It was my fault.
You did
fault.
This on the golf course?
No. Well, and then, and so then, I mean, here's the thing. My amazing wife gave me a pair of retro Jordan golf shoes mm-hmm. for for Father's Day, which I was really, really excited about.
You're so spoiled.
I am. I am. And I was
Seriously, they just like you are so spoiled.
People are
muttering curse words under their breath.
I get it. I'm muttering curse words.
So you had the new Jordans on?
And we went out to golf and it poured down rain us 3 holes into it. Like that's when that storm
hit.
That's
what you get.
And so, yeah, and I was like, and my brand new Jordans. Oh, no.
They got to be some kind of weatherproof, though.
They were fine. I think they're going to be fine. I dried them off and everything, but it was just like, man, I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to.
So you're going to hold on this week of no video games?
I'm holding tight. Once you make a rule like that, you can't back
off. There's no good behavior on that.
No. Yeah. And I did say that to him, too. I said, look, here's the deal. There's not a single thing you can say that's going to make me change my mind about this that don't even try.
Now, what you can do is be really good.
He already tried last night.
Maybe next time.
Yeah.
It'll be 5 days.
You just got to take your medicine on this one.
Yeah. No time off for good behavior.
I would say I'm going to add to it. If you try to convince me to not play video games, I'm going to add a day to it. So don't even try.
Add a day.
You come and ask me if it's going to be shortened, I'm going to add a day.
Put up a day in the hole.
I would be the best parent ever.
Really?
Yeah,
be good.
Hard
line.
It sounds like it.
A lot of practice.
I got to Spain.
Yeah, I've never been more certain of that than right now at this moment. No, hey, listen to me. This is the truth. You know who makes the best detectives?
Criminals. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Where they bring in mindhunters?
Yeah.
Who do they go talk to try to solve?
Like
that's right.
To try to find these
serial killers. God, I wish they didn't end that show.
Yeah.
God, it's a good show.
I know, it pisses me off.
Who did Clarice Starling go to? She went to talk to Dr. Lecter.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
You're Dr. Lecter.
So if you want to know how to handle unruly, ungrateful kids that torment their parents, talk to Jake.
Yes.
I'll tell you all the do's and don'ts.
Yes.
I feel like maybe this is add another chapter to the book. How to handle unruly kids.
The manuscript's not done, so that might be added on.
Or maybe that's just another book altogether.
That's the follow up after this one. It's the best sellers list.
I'm looking at
that's
Jake
always
for
a
advice.
Problem. Like, what do I do now? How do I follow this up? Yeah. I got an idea for you.
I was texting some of my buddies and I yesterday morning. You know, like we're texting each other, Happy Father's Day, and I said, hey, toughest job in the world, but also most rewarding job in the world. I love it. And one of my friends had the audacity to go, I'm going to push back on that a little bit. I don't think it's that hard. I think parenting's a lot of fun. Not that hard to me. My kids are great. I'm doing great. And I was like, well,
this is not the day.
Yeah. No. That guy wins life.
Well, good for you, because it doesn't seem that easy to me.
Because my Jordans are wet. Damn it.
All right, Lebo. Enough of the ha-has. And as they say, enough of the Border Patrol playing grab ass.
Grab ass.
The caca poo.
Do you believe in your sweet independent / Oklahoma / Lee Summit heart that Adalberto Mondesi will be in the lineup tomorrow?
No.
Why?
It was a flight involved, isn't there?
Oh boy.
Oh no. You see.
Why is not why is that necessary? Nah,
mm-hmm.
Is that part necessary?
It's only one time zone. So,
okay, for this people that don't funny. Know what you're referencing, what does that mean? There's a flight involved.
Well, there was.
What does that mean?
They were concerned of flying back from Oakland.
Well,
you know, that's the last hurdle he had to get over.
The broadcast crew thought they were.
Well, they had no. They
said they had talked to Dayton Moore about it.
They,
right?
Dayton had said that on the pregame show.
Oh boy.
Here's my thought about Mondesi.
Mm.
Oh boy.
Let's hear it.
I think he's ultra talented, obviously. I mean, you see him, the talent is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in this vortex now of him getting hurt sometimes, right? And then of them being way overprotective of it because they didn't know what happened at the end of spring training exactly, right? Because he was like the second last at bat and he maybe didn't say something or whatever. So now he's been instructed. Every time you feel anything weird, you have to tell us. So he felt something weird yesterday. You're out of the game. Now, it was fine because they were winning, whatever. But at this point, and I don't want to say bad things about people. He does not fit in the category of gamer at this point, right? The guy who's just going to be in the lineup every day and do all that. And I don't think it's all his fault. I think part of it's the club's fault now because they are very, very protective of him. Last 2 years ago, whenever he got hurt diving for a ball, then they told him, like all spring training 2 years ago, they didn't want him diving at all for balls, anything. It's spring training. You're not supposed to do that. Don't be diving. And it's just a hard way to go play the game different than what you want to play it. So it's a really bad combination of a guy who seems to be injury prone and an overprotective club. It's rough. So no, do I think he's going to be in the lineup tomorrow? No, I don't think so. Maybe the next day. He didn't play Saturday because they had a scheduled day off because they knew he was going to play Friday. So he's been off the injured list since Wednesday. He stood in the on-deck circle to possibly pinch hit, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then they didn't play Thursday. And then he played Friday, played well, and then had a scheduled day off because it was a day game, sort of, a 3 o'clock game. And then he played yesterday and made it through 7 innings. I mean, you tell me what you think. You think this guy's going to be playing 80 games the rest of the year?
I think he's got 60 in him.
Maybe. Well, at this point, he's played a game and a half.
That's what they got out of him last year, right?
He's been off the injured list. He was able to play, theoretically, in the game Wednesday. They took him off late. It was 6:45, right, when they took him off the injured list. It was right before the game. So he wasn't in the starting lineup. But he could have played in Wednesday, 4 games, and he's played a game and a half. They're easing him back in. But I don't know. It's frustrating. Because, man, is he talented.
It's frustrating just because of what you just said. Because then when he plays, he hits a 464-foot home run, and he runs like the wind and plays great defense and steals bases and gets big hits. And you're like, good God. It's almost like you forget how good he is. And then you get mad that people keep talking about him on the IL, but we talk about him on the IL because he's so damn good, but then we forget, and then we're reminded, but then as soon as we're reminded how good he is, he goes back on the IL, and then we get mad again. I'll be honest with you, when we were all on the text chain when that first came out, and I was, you know, where was I? I was either working at the Monarchs or the basketball game, and I'm keeping track of the Royals, watching everything, keeping up to date with everything. And then I get that. I go, oh, that's a joke. No, he didn't. He didn't leave the game. I said, there's no way. And then, like, you know, like the angel on my shoulder was like, ah, there's a joke. There's no way. And then the devil was like, sure, there's a way. He left, you know, he felt something in his side.
Felt a little something in his side.
And then I'm going to Twitter search. I'm on his side. Yes. Okay, yeah. Well, there it is.
Yeah, it's rough, man. It's very frustrating because you don't want your best player to be that guy, and he has a chance to be their best player. He's probably the most talented player. I've never seen a Royals player hit the ball inside that restaurant out there like he did on Friday night. Mm-hmm. I've seen, who was that, like Travis Hafner or Jim Thome or somebody like that, one of these big brutes. Right? I mean, Mondesi looks like a little kid standing next to those guys, and he hit the ball in the freaking restaurant with a super easy, like, just chill swing. It's amazing. And then, you know, they need to somehow get a little bit of the Escobar in him. Alcides Escobar refused to never play, to not play, right? Ned couldn't keep him out of the lineup. He's hurt all the time, played all the time. They need him to have some of that gene or whatever, or trust, I don't know what. I mean, sometimes you just got to play hurt. But this guy, I guess when he plays a little bit hurt, he gets hurt more, and then you can't play. It's as frustrating a player as maybe the Royals have had since I don't know when.
All right, let's take a break. Todd, are you going to hang out with us or do you have to leave? What do you have to? I don't know your schedule.
Tell me whatever you want me to do.
I want you to stay.
Stay.
I prefer that you stay. Sit. How about that?
Sit. Wow.
Sit. Roll over.
We've talked a lot about other things. We've got lots to talk about. And I want to see if Trey Young, if you actually like him now,
yeah,
you're finally supporting him because he played at Oklahoma,
are
you still lukewarm on Trey Young? We'll find out about that after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks a lot for joining us, Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez, and Todd Lebo rejoins us. Hey, before we leave the Royals, would you like to see the Royals continue to utilize an opener?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's disappointing. And it's just the reason it's disappointing is, you know, you heard Mike Matheny say this before the game on Friday. None of these young guys, I mean, they see it in a way as a failure that they haven't done a good enough job. This is what they have to resort to. But if that's what they are right now, they should most definitely keep trying to do different things to win games. But
would you like?
I would like to see the more important thing I would like to see is Jackson Coar and Chris Bubich be better than they've been. You know,
openers. Ease them into it. I don't know.
Well, I'm not sure they're candidates for openers because that's the problem they've had is the good part of the lineup.
Zimmer's my opener. Yeah. Zimmer's my opener.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe Jacob Brent once or something. But Zimmer was fired up yesterday when he got the double play. I like him. I love his competitiveness. But you know what? Kyle Zimmer was supposed to be these guys 8 years ago, right? Whenever they drafted him. This is what he was supposed to be. He was the guy we talked about for years. Oh, man, Zimmer, when he's healthy, he's going to be... He may be in that category of Mondesi as far as health goes.
Right. And so now... But it's good to see the Royals getting something out of him because he is...
And that didn't exactly work the way it's supposed to work Friday, right?
No.
I mean, they won, but it wasn't... You're supposed to have a guy come in and, you know... be lights out for an inning in a third or whatever, and then the next guy come in and be good. And there wasn't anything special about the way anyone really pitched on Friday, but they, you know, it's good enough. They scrapped and won a game.
All right. When do you want the Royals to promote Bobby Witt Jr. to AAA? He is 11 for 22 in his last five games. He's only struck out three times in his last six games, and his numbers are skyrocketing. Basically, he's kicking ass.
Probably.
Double A time.
What do you think? Maybe the break, All-Star break, maybe. Is that a
tomorrow?
Or tomorrow? I guess
tomorrow.
I don't know if there's a natural time to do that. But it's probably time for him for a new challenge. They like to promote guys when they're doing well, so that you know that way you don't have a chance to regress where you are. So soon, I would think, get to AAA. But I don't particularly need to see him be a Royal this year until it was September call-ups or something, just for fun. I think that he needs a year of development. They didn't get that last year. I think we're seeing that with some of these young pitchers. They did a great job over at the KCK facility, but it's not baseball, you know. Simulated games aren't the same. We're seeing a lot of that around the league.
But it's good to see him playing like a top prospect right now.
Yes.
At Double A. Okay, so now let's move on to the NBA playoffs. A really fun and entertaining NBA playoffs. Did the Hawks beating the 76ers in a Game 7 on the road, does that now cause you to actually like Trae Young?
I like Trae Young. I don't know
why.
Well,
it sure didn't seem like it. Because you just really... really lukewarm on him. And
I'll tell you what.
Like you wanted to throw that Sooner support behind him. What about now?
I love Trae Young. I'm glad he went to Oklahoma. It was good for the school. It was good for him. It wasn't particularly great for that team because it was that particular team was all about Trae getting his shots and everything. And he was placed with a bunch of guys who weren't as talented as he was. There were five times a game where he would throw an amazing pass and the guy would miss a layup. You know, it wasn't great. But he's with the group now, and even yesterday, he was awful yesterday, I mean, shooting-wise. But he has that mentality. He's going to keep shooting, and then he made some really big shots in the fourth quarter. That was a tough game to watch. It was a little sloppy, right?
I'm sorry. That still feels really backhanded.
Doesn't it? There's nothing there that suggests you did.
You know, I'm really happy for him, but you know what?
I don't know if
that good for that team.
He's
so backhanded.
Well, that's not backhanded. Just being honest. I love Trae Young. I'm glad he went to Oklahoma, and I'm glad he's doing well in the league. Hopefully that will help. He still loves the school. He supports the school on social media and things like that.
Not if he hears this interview.
Yes, he will. I love it. It's great. And he wasn't good yesterday, and they won. That tells you a lot about the Hawks. They got some guys who stepped up and played.
This Herter kid, man.
Yeah.
How about him?
He was great.
Well, their coach is damn good, too.
Ooh, and just how ugly is it going to be in Philly today? My gosh.
How ugly was it? I felt uncomfortable watching the final minute of that game.
Dude, there were some angry-looking people in the stands. They kept getting those shots. Like, the game they blew the lead a couple of games ago, it was kind of It's just sad fans.
Right. 27 points.
Angry fans.
Right.
Dude, yeah. Philly is going to be on fire.
I don't think it's Doc Rivers' fault.
Well, no, Ben, he's got a point guard who doesn't want to have anything to do with the
your
ball.
Your second best player is scared to shoot.
When they're down two, and he's right underneath the basket and wouldn't dunk it.
Yeah. Simmons is a disaster
now.
He can't play there anymore.
No, he's got to go.
So he's going to make he's got 4 years left, $31 to $35 million each. He's on one of those max deal things. Yep. There's probably not a spot for him there. It's not going to work out. Does someone want that? I mean, there are places that can afford that contract.
You cannot be a superstar in today's NBA if you can't shoot.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you this. There's a lot of talk on Philadelphia Twitter that there was a time. The time is no longer with us. But there was a time that perhaps a Ben Simmons, Dame Lillard trade was on the table and possible.
That team would be in the finals.
Dude, right? Like, make that trade and tell me what you got with the 76ers there.
He's been an interesting guy. Simmons is, he was the overall number one pick, right? He was on a team where he got to do whatever he wanted. Didn't he make the tournament?
Yeah.
At LSU. So he wasn't. But then he got hurt, didn't even play his first year. He's filled up the stat sheet in a lot of ways.
Well,
but this playoffs, the pressure reveals what you're all about,
yeah,
right? And he
absolutely
has just not been able to stand up to the pressure in the playoffs. Whereas, Trae Young last night, he didn't care. He shot the ball. He was 2 for 17, and then, fine, I'll make a teardrop, two of them, knock down a 29-footer, and just keep grinding and do it. Where Ben Simmons, like, okay, I'm not
going to shoot.
Mental.
See, it's like, Shaq, they even imply a hack of Shaq, but no matter how bad Shaq's free throws got, he never let it affect his mental
right,
in
he
game.
He just kept dunking on
him. Yeah, he just kept, getting the ball and dunking it on people and making defense block.
Did you see what Shaq said about Ben Simmons after the game yesterday?
Whooping his ass or something.
If I was in the locker with him, I would have beat his ass.
Well, I mean,
that's what he said.
But that's the difference between an elite competitor and a guy who's uber talented. The mental aspect, right?
Mental is such a huge part.
But to your point, Stephen, if I'm Philly, I'm saying I'll give you Ben Simmons in every first round draft pick for the next 10
Someone
years.
Has to be able to afford it,
it's
right?
Over.
Go get Lillard.
But they have to be able to afford. Who can afford that?
His value is plummeted because everybody just saw. You can put up those stats in the first three quarters of games and in the regular season, but when you get to the playoffs and the other team actually dials it up to the point where they got to compete at 100%, they don't have to guard you.
Well, the really bad spot they're in is that's been revealed, but he's got this anchor of a
contract.
That's what I'm saying. Who's going to want to pay
you
for
that?
You
have to ship off all your first-round draft picks for the next, I don't know how many years, and him.
And it's not like, sometimes you say, you send him back to his hometown or something. Dude's from Australia. I mean, there's no, you can send him back somewhere where they'd love him.
That
I don't
he
know.
Hasn't turned into at least a serviceable shooter. A guy that's got that much athleticism, that much raw natural ability to not be able to turn himself into just a decent shooter that can hit an open
good
shot.
Joel Embiid is
incredible.
Joel Embiid was at Kansas for a very short amount of time. He didn't shoot threes. He didn't do any of those things. And all he has done is work and work and work and work and work and work. And now you sit there and watch this 7 foot, 280-pound guy knock down threes and make every freaking free throw. He's incredible, right? And then you got Ben Simmons, who is more athletic, smaller, but could be that guy who can go do all these things. I don't know if he works. I can't imagine he works as hard as Embiid at shooting. And if he does, maybe he's just not very good.
It's wild, isn't it? That you could be that naturally gifted and not just can't shoot.
Dude, look at the guy on the team with him. You talking about putting work in and changing who you are? I mean, if there's a Robin to Embiid's Batman now, it's Seth Curry.
Yep.
Yeah, he was in the D League, and we all hear stories from Jarrett Sutton about him. He's in the D League, then he's with the Kings, then he's with the Mavericks, then he's with the Trailblazers, then he was back to the Mavericks, and then he goes to the 76ers in exchange for Josh Richardson. Well, that looks pretty good. That doesn't look like a guy, and all the whole time playing in the unbelievable shadow of your brother.
Yeah. They got some guys who have worked really hard. And this is, I don't want to make a blanket statement, but when I look at, you have to look at each individual person. This is a guy who grew up overseas, and he came to America just to go play basketball for a year. That was what it was going to be. Had to go do it. Went to high school just for like a year. I think he went to the same high school as Embiid. He went to Monteverde, one of those like just places in Florida where you come to go play. And then
office space with a printer to get your diploma.
It's like it's a real school.
It's expensive, but they've turned it into a basketball school.
Yeah,
I mean that's like or it's just a sports school. Like Francisco Lindor went to that high school too. Okay. It's just one of those places. And his whole goal was just to go and make it through. And now he got the overall number one draft pick, and he played well enough, and he got a max deal. But I don't know if he's been a grinder who wants to go out there and work and work and work and work and work. There's so many different paths to get there. He didn't look to me like a guy who really suffered along the way. It was just, oh, you go here. And I don't know how he got to LSU. Could have been a strong ass offer. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, it's just like that's the kind of path that he went on. And it's just been there for him. And then now he's just like, eh. So
who are you rooting for to win then?
My
now,
Hawks, the man.
Giannis.
My Hawks.
I want Giannis, baby. I like.
I want Milwaukee.
Suns.
I like all these teams.
I tell you what, I like
feel like the Suns are going to win, but
those Suns uniforms like are awesome.
I like the Phoenix.
Well, Briscoe loves the Suns for some reason, so I don't want him to be happy. So I'd like him to be sad, you know. But the Bucks are cool. I used to like the Bucks when I was a kid a little bit because they were always like the third best team in the East. They just never could make the finals. They had good players.
Cassell and
Sidney Moncrief was on top. I'm talking about when I was a kid, like Marcus Johnson.
You like
these guys
Kelly
back
Trabuca,
in the day?
Phil Pressey.
I love those uniforms. Yeah, Phil Pressey. They had the green with the little green, white, light green stripes on it. I thought they were really cool looking. And they just weren't Pressey. The Sixers. They weren't the Celtics. They weren't the Hawks. They would always just lose to somebody. And then they've just kind of gone about their business. And they got a guy who's turned out to be a superstar who said, you know what? Milwaukee's good enough for me. I'll stay here. I don't know if he's going to stay there forever, but you know, I like that.
I think Giannis' story is incredible. First of all, the guy was not a citizen of any country on the planet
for like 12 years.
12 to 18 years of his life.
He's just a guy.
He was no country would claim him. Now they all want to claim him,
right?
You know, but also he's been criticized a lot. He was criticized during the course of this series.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Giannis isn't. You know, people question his physical and mental toughness.
Oh, that was a career defining game. Like because if he wouldn't have got past that game, he'd be like, oh, Giannis again, MVP talent, and he blows it. And you know, he's done that the past couple of years.
But he's done it. He's really. I think it's gonna be a fun series
for him to beat Durant head to head.
What a great Game Seven, too, man!
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I mean, that was thrilling
to watch. I mean, that Game Seven last night was rough.
He needed that win, but, you know, big time.
So I'm going for the Hawks. I'm looking for my Sooner. My Sooner.
I know we
got
a breakdown, but did you like the U.S. Open?
I thought that was some really good drama. I mean, I thought it was an unusual play, the way he played the bunker shot, but he was putting so well. But then you just knew that Louis was going to gag a drive, and he did. Because I figured he had a birdie left in him, but I knew, can you just avoid the bogey? And he got the bogey, then the birdie wasn't enough. But it was really good. Rahm was he was exceptional. He's such a big, weird-looking guy.
I love him.
And those two putts he made on 17 and 18 were just freaking incredible.
So I was watching his post-game interview, and my brother-in-law was kind of filling me in on his backstory a little bit and all this stuff. I was like, okay, I think I like this, because I've been trying to look for a golfer that I want to root for. And I can't pick a side with this Kepka versus DeChambeau.
Yeah.
They both seem like insufferable.
It's Petco. It's like they put them together. Yeah, I don't like either one of them.
They both seem like a-holes. It's like Steven, you were talking
Brooksie's
about.
Great.
Sometimes you watch two guys get in a fight and you're rooting for both of them to get their ass kicked. It seems like both those guys kind of need an ass kicking. And so I'm looking for somebody that I can actually root for. And this guy, Rahm, seems like a guy easy to root for. Am I wrong about that? I'd be like,
he's a great guy. I mean, I don't know.
He appreciates his history. He seems like he's a pretty fun-loving guy.
You know, I enjoy watching him play golf.
He's my guy. Cheer for that guy.
It's pretty intense.
Figures you'd cheer for some Euro instead of American.
Yeah, right. Some Spaniard.
Is that bad?
No, you can do whatever you want.
He's not a spoiled brat like these American golfers.
I think he grew up okay.
I was rooting for Rory. I would have liked to see Rory.
Yeah, Rory's just not going to be able to get it done.
He's just not. But
I know why you used to like the Bucks, Lebo.
Why is that?
Paul McKeskey.
Oh, thugs.
Yeah, bro. That was one of the finest moments of our radio career. And no one knows what we're talking about, but guess what? We're going to leave it like that. We'll break it back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jay Gutierrez and Todd Lebo is still in the studio with us. Todd, you know, next Friday is the return of Bosch on Amazon Prime, seventh and final season, but then he's going to have a spinoff, so I'm very excited about that.
I haven't seen that show. I know you'd love it. I should watch that show, I guess.
You'll love it. Binge all of the six previous seasons before Friday.
That's a lot of work.
And then we can watch it together. Well, I just try. I mean, you know, I don't want to hear complaints about that.
That's a lot of work. I'm trying to. My wife doesn't binge. We watched Mare of
Easttown. What about now that she's retired? Will she binge?
She thinks my daughter and I can be TV bullies, try to make her watch more than one thing.
Explain. What did you try to make her watch that she didn't want to watch?
Well, it's just, you know, it's more, she can do about one show at a time. She doesn't want two. Like, there was some little cute little 30-minute comedy show that's on Netflix called, like, Working Moms or something. I said, we can watch this. It's a fun little show. And then we watched, you ever watch Alone? It's on History Channel. It's where they put these people out in the woods. And they have to survive.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
So we've watched all of those in season seven.
It's just a lot of content.
But they're not real long. I mean, there's only like seven or eight in a year. So yeah, it's not that much. But Alone, they take like 10 people.
Fantastic.
And they put them out somewhere in the wilderness. And you get to take 10 things
right.
with you.
Right, you pick your items.
And then you can you have to just live and survive. You can tap out at any time, and then, or they come out and they do medical checks on you. If they say, listen, you just can't go on, they can take you out. And the winner...
I need to get interviewed for this show.
...wins, I think the winner won like 100
yeah,
grand
you could
or something.
Be on that show.
Yeah,
the season seven we're watching now, which has already happened, don't text me any spoilers, but someone has to survive 100 days, and they get $1 million.
Oh, I could do that.
In the Arctic, so... Until you get hurt. That's the thing. This one, I'm watching this one. Just
tell you feel a little
right.
something?
Yeah, well, yeah.
yeah.
If you like.
Wow. Now who's taking shots?
So.
Damn.
Oh, bravo,
this
sir.
Dude, in one of the years, I'm not going to say which year, but like, you know, you kill a squirrel, you know, you cook the squirrel up, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, bad squirrel meat, got a little sick. Dude's like throwing his guts up.
Didn't cook it well enough.
Yeah, he did. You know, something happened and they got attacked.
Probably had worms.
Yeah, you got something in you.
Okay.
You know.
Mm. Todd, I have to throw you a curveball here. This story is new at ESPN.com. In a ruling that could help push change in college athletics, the Supreme Court on Monday unanimously sided with a group of former college athletes in a dispute with the NCAA over rules limiting certain compensation. The high court ruled that NCAA limits on the education-related benefits that colleges can offer athletes who play Division I basketball and football cannot be enforced. The plaintiff's attorney, Jeffrey Kessler, said it's a tremendous win, 9-0. Hopefully it will be a major next step on the road to a true, fair, competitive system for these athletes. It should have positive effects immediately on NIL. We look forward to a world that's better for college athletes today than it was yesterday. Your reaction, Todd Lebo?
Well, this has to do with antitrust as well, and I don't understand all of that stuff, but I know that these sports leagues and teams enjoy some protection from some of those deals, and I think college athletics has already changed as we know it, and rulings like this will change it even more, and it'll probably, well, I don't know where it'll end up, but it's basically turning into just a professional minor league maybe in some ways, which is what it is, you know? I mean, the world's changing, good or bad, whatever it is, but it won't be old, you know, it's already, I mean, transfer portals and all this stuff has already changed, you're cheering for old State U.
I didn't think that the U.S. Supreme Court was unanimous on anything. I thought everything was like split almost 50-50. Everybody can get behind voting against the NCAA right now, even the Supreme Court.
Even then, this will be a developing story as we go, and it'll probably take a long time to unravel exactly what it means, but probably not good news for the old school approach. But that's probably fine.
No more bagmen, huh?
I just do it out in front.
Right. Todd, thank you for your time. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you, buddy. Happy Father's Day again. I'm glad That's it was great right. for Happy. Everybody, Nate.
Oh, I had a great Father's
That's
Day.
That's right. It was great for everyone. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Happy Monday to everyone. Have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.